FM and HD Boston. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Beasley Media Group Station.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. A very, very, very odd way to end a football game. Yesterday, of course, with all the laterals and Gronkowski playing deep and taking an awful angle. Lots of things to discuss. We spent 2 hours discussing them. But, you know, Rich, when you have children, it's not always possible to sit and watch a game in its entirety. That's why one turns to 98.5 The Sports Hub, the home of the Patriots. And I was going for my son's basketball game to a basketball practice, which is fun at 4. And that's right when you want to do them. Give me a good Sunday at 4 o'clock basketball practice.
Right in the middle of the day.
And my friend runs the league, too.
Oh.
And so, so I'm driving, and I'm just assuming that this is all, it's over. And then I hear what goes on. I actually heard this. And had to stop in and look at it, but
it was
a tale of two Zoes.
It was. Zolak and Soucy obviously do a great job, and I've been hearing a lot more of them lately than usual. Yesterday was interesting because I listened to the entire first half on the radio, and the first thing that you noticed was that Zolak does not like being in Miami's booth. I mean, this is after the very first play. I just pulled this short clip right here. This is literally the first play of the game. And listen to Scott Zolak.
With a handoff to Sony Michel, runs through a crease right side. He's tackled at the 28-yard line, driven down by Cameron Wake et al.
I think it's Cordarrelle Patterson that was in the backfield lined up as fullback. Hard to tell from this vantage point. National Football League stadium with not one monitor that works in the broadcast booth.
The Patriots literally coming game. Right at us.
So, all right. Apparently, it's really bad.
It's awful.
Like, and I was hearing other people talk about it, too. Apparently, it's awful. And the idea that you don't get a monitor, I don't even... Like, I think Wallach gets a monitor at Bryant.
At Bryant, maybe. He has to have one at the Celtics game because he's way in the corner. That's one thing the Celtics don't do well, and that is put their broadcasters in the position to see the game.
It's just sometimes in radio, like, people go out of their way to screw you.
Sure.
Like, they're just like, oh, you're in radio? You broadcast from the basement.
But he's absolutely right. I believe every other stadium has some sort of way. And by the way, during the play-by-play, there were times where you could hear Soucy, because he's the consummate pro, you would just hear a pause in the middle of his play-by-play, and you could tell it's because he's trying to figure out who made the tackle
right on
Miami, because it's all to the naked eye from where they are in the booth. And then you can hear Zolak starting to ratchet up the anger. So here is after, I believe this is when the Miami scored their 28th point. Here we go.
Snaps to Tannehill, drops back with time, throws down the middle of the end zone, caught for a touchdown. A perfect throw to Butler with his first catch of the day and his first touchdown as a Dolphin. And he has tied this game at 27-all.
Pat it. Move the ball, you sputter before the half, you leave points out there, you miss kicks. And your number one corner gets beat by Ryan Tannehill on a backside slant for a 23-yard touchdown to take the lead. Keep letting them hang around.
Yep, so he was starting to get pissed. By the way, Zolak just texted me and said, they broadcast from the end zone.
It's like this
back corner.
Could you
imagine that?
It's not even at least what I saw, it looked like it wasn't completely the end zone.
No, it's like even worse.
This back corner, you're as far away from the game as bad an angle as you can be.
And imagine having to call when they're on the other end of the field. I mean, how do you not have a monitor?
I wonder if they're also on the side where the sun's in their eyes. Like, because I've heard that if you're on the Patriots sideline, the sun at 1 o'clock game hits your eyes.
I don't know which corner that final play went to, but if it was going away from them, then they literally could not have been further away from the action.
All right. Well, I came in this morning and I had to hear this because pretty much everyone thought after the pass interference on Josh Gordon, the game was over. And I don't blame anyone for getting all, excited, blah, blah, blah. However, I wanted to hear it. So I came in this morning and I started listening right when Stephen Gostkowski nailed that field goal where they're up by five, and I had to hear it play out. So here it is. If you did not hear it, this is the four uninterrupted minutes from when the field goal is kicked to the tragic ending. Take it away.
At the 12-yard line on the right hash, a 22-yard attempt with a snap from Cardona in place. Gostkowski's kick driven to the uprights, and the kick is good. And the Dolphins still down by a single score, 33-28, but they'll need a touchdown to win it with 16 seconds left.
Okay, walk me through this, and Belichick's down there. He's talking to Joe Judge, and he's been talking to him, and he's explaining things to him, and they're going back and forth. This is one you put it through the end zone, right? We don't need a squib. We don't need to land it at the goal line and force them to burn clock and then tackle them at the 22. This is a get it through the end zone and get your prevent defense out there. Either way you cut it, this is shaping up to be a big one next week in the Steel City. A lot of games need to be played today. Things are happening around the league. The Patriots on the verge of winning their 16th straight 10-win season, which is an amazing feat. Amazing to think about the changes in the league and how teams have go through ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, but your level of consistency. We're coming to Steel City with another 10-win season next week. Pittsburgh's worst nightmare.
And now Gostkowski kicks it off on the turf across the 20, fielded from the 15-yard line. And running to the left, trying to get outside with it to the 29 and across the 30 for the Dolphins. Kalen Ballage and the Dolphins with 7 seconds left as that kickoff took 9 seconds off the clock. Again, fielded off the turf, a bouncing ball down the near sideline.
See, rather than 9 seconds and squib it as opposed to booting it through and having 16, I'll take the 16 and boot it through and let's go prevent and put Josh Gordon to Gronkowski deep. Here comes Buzz Lightyear. He's the deep center fielder right now. It's nice to see him a little pep in his step as he waves to the crowd.
All right, so I got to stop it there. Gronkowski's waving to the crowd. He's dancing around.
So it's like, can't wait. A 10-win season heading to see the Steelers. Here we go.
But it's
he's like,
Rich, what do I always tell you?
T-shirt and hat, baby.
The person who gets the biggest smile on their face is going to get hit by a truck. like Gronkowski's out there waving to the crowd and dancing around. And it's like, you're the guy, like, hey, you know, dance like no one's watching. Boom! Not so fast.
Nope.
All right, here we go.
A huge day for the Patriots. 8 receptions, 107 yards, including a touchdown. Tannehill for the Dolphins survey. What he sees in front of him, a field of defensive backs and a Hawking tight end who stands at the 15-yard line. Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the full race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
Are you supposed to not say, like, what if you're in the car and you were kind of only paying attention?
That was 35 seconds of silence in the booth. 35 seconds of play-by-play silence.
Just let that play wash over you.
And you know that Zolak probably was nowhere. Like, he probably walked away. He probably just turned around and just like walked away. And was
or maybe
in the
Capello had
direction.
Him in a headlock.
Because I've seen Capello like push him back.
Well, Capello sent out a Facebook. Capello produces the game and he's in the booth with Soucy and Zolak. Not only are they in a corner in the end zone, they're on field level.
Yeah, it's inexcusable. So after 35 seconds of silence in the booth, here's their reaction.
For the Patriots, it's at the end of the first half and at the end of the second half. They left points on the field several times today, including that missed opportunity in the final half minute of the second quarter. And then the Dolphins on the old hook and lateral plays, lateraling it twice, initially to Stills, then to Parker, off to Drake. And with Gronkowski, the last man back defensively for the Patriots.
Never seen anything like it.
Really on the field is confirmed. It is a touchdown.
This is inexplicable. I mean, you had two guys outside bracketed at the 10. You had Gronkowski deep. He almost blows his knee out trying to get to the sideline. And then he turns the corner. I don't.
The Dolphins win it.
That's how close you are to either staying at home or going on the road.
In the most playoffs. Improbable fashion, beating the Patriots for a fifth time in the last six games. But maybe it's not that implausible considering how poorly the Pats have played here in South Florida through the years.
Sports.
By the way,
sports. Sports.
Can you imagine if they overturned that?
Oh, it would have been hysterical.
I mean, it would just been like, just, I'm not watching another game.
Like, if they were like, there was an illegal block in the back.
Now that we're looking at it, it would have been like.
Sports. Sports. Sports.
I mean, that's just that 35 seconds. I don't think I've ever heard that in any like radio sports broadcast before.
Yeah, that's just, like when hosts fight each other and then there's like long, awkward silences. That's right up there.
I mean, there is the time for silence. Like, if your team hits this huge walk-off grand slam, you announce what it's done, and then you just let the crowd noise, you know, play, but not 35 seconds.
Well, and also not...
That is a long time.
Not on radio, either.
Well, no, but for, like, 10 seconds, you...
I understand what you're saying. But, yeah, like, more so on TV, you know, you kind of let the moment sit. Yes, the 35 seconds
is a long time to let that germinate. You know, just let it marinate right in there.
Bob Sosi is going to join us at 9 o'clock, and I just want to know what Zolak was doing at the time. Because, I mean, I mean, all of us were sitting there stunned, but, I mean, you know, you heard Zolak. He's like, all right, we're going to this, play the Steelers, 10 wins, how about that? There's Buzz Lightyear out there waving to the crowd, and then that.
See, if I'm Zolak, I do my Coors Light read, and I realize I get paid no matter what. At that point, you can take solace in that. Win or lose, you get paid. All right, so we'll go around the NFL a little bit. We'll be right back.
Around.
You play to win the game.
The NFL.
Oh, look at his hands.
In 15 minutes, give or take.
Unicorns, show ponies, where's the beat?
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Around the NFL is brought to you by Leonard Hair Transplants Associates. Schedule your free consultation with the hair loss doctors, the former NFL players, Wes Welker, Rob Ninkovich, Sebastian Vollmer, and Chris Gronkowski. Called Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Dr. Robert Leonard at 1-800-GET-HAIR.
Well, it's hard, obviously, after yesterday's loss to think of anything positive, but believe it or not, a couple of things actually fell the Patriots' way, including the Steelers with a last-second chance to tie it with a field goal against John Gruden Raiders. What? Hang on, what?
The kick by Boswell. He slipped and fell, and the ball is loose. Oh, my goodness gracious. And the Raiders celebrate. He tried to approach the ball.
Womp, womp. That ending would have been a lot funnier had the Patriots not had the most embarrassing final play of the decade earlier in the day.
That field was, I watched a lot of that game. That field, they missed out on a touchdown, which they eventually got because Juju Smith-Schuster made an incredible catch.
Just like, I mean, and I know why the ref said that he didn't catch it, because it was, you really had to slowly scroll the tape to make sure he got both feet in, but it was one of the better touchdown catches of the year.
But they have a punt returner and a receiver named Switzer who just, I mean, he must have fallen three or four times. I mean, that field was insane. Now, there's no excuse. I mean, Roethlisberger was out for a while, and they couldn't do anything offensively, but they missed Connor. Oh, boy, did they miss Connor. They had no running game.
Yep.
None. Well, in fact, I think they had, like, 8 yards rushing in the first half.
But the Pats, they do catch a break. Steelers lose 24-21. Roethlisberger, as you're saying, he's got that rib injury. He returned, however, later on.
And got them in field goal range. And then the ice gave way.
Yeah, three bad beats in a row for the Steelers. And they await the Patriots this weekend. But, man, let's hear a happy John Gruden for the first time in forever. This is John Gruden in the locker room getting the boys pumped.
You love adversity. All right, you love football. You love each other. And you're going to bring the Raiders back. God bless you. Give yourself some hell of a win. What you have done in spite of me, I congratulate you, Derek. I cannot tip my hat to the offensive line enough.
Yes, sir.
You guys could have won a hell of a game last week. Let's just finish strong. Let's stay together. But I can't tell you how proud I am of you,
sir,
and how great the future is going to be. God bless you all. Let's pray.
Three wins? Three wins this season? Is that right? Three? Now, I know they almost beat Chiefs last week? It was a close one. The Raiders kind of were flirting last week. Was it the Chiefs? I forget.
Gruden's plan's coming together.
This is all the way it was intended, Fred.
Yes, indeed.
And the Patriots get another gift, thanks to Jim Irsay's boys.
First drive of the third quarter for Indianapolis. Luck on first down. Throws end zone, looking for a man. He's got it. Touchdown, Zach Pascal. Pascal from 17 yards away. And the Colts now lead 23-14. And the Colts answer with a touchdown.
A great job of answering the touchdown by the Texans with a touchdown of your own.
And the 9-game winning streak finally over. The Texans lose to the Colts 24-21.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Jim Irsay?
Hey, waking up. Fired up.
He's waking up today and being like, what happened, dude? Kick-ass win, look.
I bet I'm fired up. I bet you are, too. What did I just hear you say to that pile of lewds on your desk?
All they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are.
They are nice lewds. Well, that's nice, sir. Congratulations on the win, Mr. Jim Irsay.
Yeah, baby.
I'm sure you're extremely happy. Maybe you'll call in later this morning and give us a recap of how your weekend went.
Yeah, so much for you, Titans. Texans. You just got kicked by a filly. Little racehorse.
That'd be a good call. Yeah.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Well, now the bad news for the Patriots. You can just give Mahomes the MVP right now.
24-17 Ravens. 57 seconds remaining in the game in regulation. They will spread it out. 3-by-2, now 3-by-1 as Williams comes into the backfield. At the Raven 5, down by 7, blitz. Mahomes, hot read, right side, goes to Damian Williams, touchdown! Right side, touchdown! Kansas City, the Chiefs within 1 at 53 seconds to go in regulation.
So the Chiefs win in overtime. Mahomes just finds ways to win.
Two big fourth down conversions.
Yeah, amazing. And on top of that, I mean, they had that play they kept showing.
They had a fourth and 8, where he's... It was the second best play in the league yesterday.
He had that no-look pass, which was just an absolute bullet. But there you go. Even RG3 had to take a few snaps yesterday. They're on their third string? Yeah, third string quarterback. Flacco out, and then you had Jones get hurt, and then RG3 comes in. The Chiefs, they are now 11-2. And it looks like, unless the Chargers do something, that the AFC is going to go through Arrowhead, and I will unfortunately disagree with Mr. Troy Brown. I think the Chiefs at Arrowhead would be a tougher game for the Patriots to win than going and playing the Chargers right now.
It'd be a fun game to watch.
The one at Arrowhead?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that last time they played each other was fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
Not a lot of defense.
No, not a lot of defense at all. Well, Fred's favorite douchebag does it again.
Here we go. Third down and 17. The Browns have it at their own 49-yard line. Chubb in the backfield. Baker's got the snap. He's up in the pocket. He's looking left. Down the field. Firing. He's going for Landry. Down by the end zone. A tumbling catch for a touchdown. What a catch by Landry.
Unbelievable. Yeah, saved his bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was all Landry. Mayfield just sitting there saying, oh, boy, how long is this going to last?
Well, the Browns went...
I'm 5'4".
5'4"?
Yep. Baker Mayfield, he stood on his tippy toes at the combine. Combine.
Well, the Browns have won 5 games in a season for the first time since 2014. Maybe it's because since Hugh Jackson was fired, Baker Mayfield's been extra dangerous.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You worn a new shirt yet?
No, I have not. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I woke up feeling dangerous.
Yeah, I've cleaned up my dog crap with it. But Baker Mayfield, I can't wait when the bottom falls out of that thing. He's not long for this.
Speaking of douchebags, Cam Newton and his Panthers have now lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, they might fire Ron Rivera. That's the talk.
Oh, well, did you hear about what's going on with the Jaguars now? And the first I ever heard anything about this was Bert when he was in studio on Friday, is that there is now a belief amongst many GMs in the league that you're going to get to take the place of Doug Marrone. You're going to get, what's his name, the GM who was with the Giants, with Coughlin. They're going to have Coughlin actually coach the team. Oh, pull up Pat Riley and say, this is my team. I got this.
How old is he?
103.
I mean, he's...
Is he Marv Levy old?
He's up there.
He was older than Belichick. I know that. I think he was the only coach at the time who was older than Belichick and still coaching.
By the way, I was told by...
72 years old, Tom Coughlin.
I was told... Well, I mean, I was told by... You know, I was told by a radio show that I was doing a year ago that Marv Levy, not only still alive, sexually active.
Who would know? Other than Marv and whoever he's sexually active with, I guess.
Apparently, he was sexually active with someone somewhat of prominence in the area.
Well, use it or lose it. Oh. I guess he's using it.
Yeah. And I also told no Viagra necessary.
All right.
Very strong. Virile.
Yeah, Levy gentlemen. Just uses an old school bike pump. Back in my day. All right, so Rich, we'll be back. We'll continue to go around the NFL a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then a little slice, a little bit of fun. We'll find out what's going on. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Big week in the NFL. Lots of crazy endings. Have you heard about the package that was out there for the Patriots? Not good. I don't know if anyone's brought that up to you yet.
Why was Gronk there?
Well, I don't know why Gronk was there. Maybe you could have someone who has a history of tackling put in that position. But, Rich, there were other games as well.
Yeah, what the hell happened to the Rams?
Play clock is at 4 when the Rams break the huddle. 2. As the shotgun snap comes to Goff on 4th and 10 at the 44, backpedals, throws left side, intercepted. Amu Kamara at the 45, and he'll slide down at the 48. 4th interception thrown tonight by Jared Goff.
Somewhere Jeff Fisher watched yesterday's Rams game and said, "Hey, that's my playbook, baby."
Yeah, he let up like a little pen joint and was a little like a pin joint. It was just like, why not? All right, so I was talking to Lockhart in the other room, and he was telling me, because he watches all these games, he was telling me that Goff the last 2 weeks has been terrible, and that the idea is that if you can get pressure on him, he has a total inability to face that.
Well,
like, if you can get pressure on him, he's terrible.
I didn't know if it was the cold or what, but I mean, after an entire season of scoring at will, the Rams fall to the Bears. As a matter of fact, the Bears hold the Rams to season lows in points scored. They only scored 6 points. Total net yards, only 214 in first downs with only 14, while forcing a Rams season-high 4 turnovers. And Todd Gurley, just nowhere. Somebody said, hey, Todd, what went wrong?
All right, guys, go ahead.
Todd, what were the Bears able to do to keep you guys in check on offense tonight?
Everything. They did a great job. We played like they, you know, held us to 6 points. Simple as that.
Yeah, yeah, so... Sorry about that, anyone who had him in your fantasy playoffs.
No need for that language.
Phil Flarn fell flying his way?
I don't know why he couldn't have spread his vocabulary. There's children that look up to him.
Well, I guess Mike McCarthy was the problem.
Snap to Rodgers. Steps up. Lofts it. Left side. Ends up. Touchdown!
Yes!
Touchdown! To Randall Cobb! And the record! All time! Consecutive passes without an interception. Aaron Rodgers, 305 34-yard touchdown pass.
Oh, I'll remember that for the rest of my life. Where were you?
They stopped the game and gave him a certificate, Fred.
Yeah, they stopped the game. They just put him on their shoulders and ran around.
I have to be honest, out of all the things that have happened this season, what they did with Drew Brees when he set that record, stopping the game and bringing his kids out into the field and giving him a certificate, might be the weirdest. And it has been a weird-ass season. But that might be the strangest of all the things that have taken place during this NFL year. Well, the new Joe Philbin-led Green Bay Packers beat up on the Atlanta Falcons 34-20. Maybe it's because Aaron Rodgers feels freed underneath his new super coach, who's well-respected when not being completely ignored by players. Or maybe it's just that the Falcons suck way more than they should for the amount of talent that they have.
Yeah, they suck.
They are bad. And there's not a lot of explanation as to why they should be that bad, but they are just god-awful. You know, speaking of god-awful, Mark Sanchez is starting.
Sanchez in a shotgun set. Takes the snap, play fake, pass over the middle. Intercepted by the Giants, and Curtis Riley runs it in for a touchdown.
Run-pass option, they were on that from the beginning of the game. They knew exactly where they were going to go with the ball, and Riley played the robber.
I think it got tipped at the line. It did.
And then Sanchez was benched. After tossing two interceptions and completing 6 of 14 for just 38 yards, the Sanchez was replaced by Josh Johnson, a guy they just signed this week. The Skins lose 40-16 to the Giants. By the way, Saquon Barkley, he set a Giants rookie record with 13 touchdowns of the year. Dude is so fun to watch, but they still should have drafted a quarterback. Did you hear the new news this morning? Is that apparently Colin Kaepernick's camp has floated out there that he would be willing to play for the Redskins. Can you think of a bigger PR disaster waiting to happen than when Colin Kaepernick plays for the worst owner in sports who doesn't know how to handle things properly, a team called the Redskins? I can't think of anything going a worse team for him to sign to than the one that just took a guy who beat his wife off of waivers.
Well,
or his girlfriend.
I think that it actually is good PR because it proves that taking a knee is not as big of offense as, you know, hitting a woman.
They are going to botch that so horribly. Somebody in the organization is going to say or do something to make everything just completely botched with the return of Colin Kaepernick into the league.
I mean, it's going to be very polarizing, but I think that it would be a good PR move considering all the crap they got for taking that guy that hits women. So, I mean, I look at it differently.
Being called the Redskins.
That's the other thing.
Right. I don't know what that has to do with Kaepernick, but nonetheless.
No, I'm just saying in terms in football people get all politically angry about.
Yep. Right.
You've got the Redskins and you've got Colin Kaepernick. You could bring all of that in. You could unite the sides of the political spectrum as it has to do with football.
So that would be your fifth quarterback for the Redskins this year. Alex Smith, injured. Colt McCoy, injured. You had the Sanchez, benched. Dude McGee last night. Josh Johnson last night would obviously be benched, and then you would bring in Colin Kaepernick.
See, I'm thinking that Sanchez probably won't play a lot of football in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, you're probably right about
that. Taking a wild guess on that one.
Mm-hmm. And we were all wrong about the Amari Cooper trade. Everyone was wrong about the Amari Cooper trade.
And Prescott in the gun. They look like they're going to blitz. Here comes everybody. Slant in the direction. Cooper caught it on the bounce. Off the defender. Cooper walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Cooper. Cowboys win. How else would you settle this game besides the ball bouncing off a defender into Amari Cooper's hands and him walking in for the winning score? How else?
You know, the minute we all said, hey, maybe Gruden knows what he's doing over there in Oakland, is the minute we all should have known that the Amari Cooper trade was the worst idea ever for the Raiders and a massive win for the Cowboys.
I don't think I had a problem with that trade.
I had a huge problem with it. A first-round pick for Amari Cooper?
I mean, Amari Cooper is a first-round talent. I mean, he was a high first-round pick, and he's been a very good pro. So, no, I don't
But he hadn't been playing well for a while.
Well, he was playing for Gruden. He was playing for Oakland.
Understood. But, like, the second he became a member of the Dallas Cowboys, that team has looked unbelievable.
Yeah, Amari Cooper is a blue-chip wide receiver.
Three touchdowns yesterday. And, of course, the game winner that you heard just there. And all of a sudden, things are interesting for the Cowboys. Now, the Saints clinched the NFC South with their 28-14 win over the Bucs. And, hey, Fred, Sam Darnold ended up doing something. They beat the Bills 27-23.
They're doing something.
He had that one touchdown that was pretty good.
He put what?
In a sea of, you know, plays. That was
the best play of the week.
Oh, the best play of the week was at the end of the Patriots game yesterday.
No. In terms of skill, it was the best play of the week. He ran 28.5 yards and fit a ball into the tiniest of windows. As Manish Mehta said, Darnold put the team on his back in the fourth quarter and led them to two touchdowns, thereby sealing the win and costing the Jets any opportunity the first pick in the draft.
It was another good win for you, too, Fred. The Lions over Cardinals. Yeah. Sure, Hardy's happy about that.
I didn't watch any of that game. I did see on Twitter, though, that the guy Burkett, who covers them for the Free Press, was saying, like, only a half an hour left. Like,
make it stop.
Like, mercy. He's like, I give you the first quarter statistics, but I don't want to.
49ers beat the Broncos 20-14. And there you go. Chargers beat the Bengals 26-21. Massive game this Thursday night with AFC implications with the Chargers versus Chiefs. So yeah. You got another good Thursday night game, which, once again, the quality's been all right this year.
I'll forget it's on. There's no question about it.
No, that'll be a fun game to watch. You won't forget.
What's on Thursday night?
is that the Goldbergs?
No, that's Wednesday night.
That's gone.
Yeah, New Girl.
Young Sheldon.
That's right, Young Sheldon. I always catch that. Because I like him young. The old Sheldon is yesterday's news.
Yeah, you got the old Madam Secretary on the DVR, do you?
Well, I say Madame. But she's so much more than a secretary. She can fly. Did you know that's what the show's about?
She's a flying secretary?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She takes phone calls all over the world. There's a CEO. And then she'll take notes in meetings. You're needed in Korea. She flies over there.
I feel like you may be watching the knockoff version of Madam Secretary at this point.
Well, you know what Madam Secretary is that she's a pimp who also has a day job.
It's like an episode of Hunter.
Hunter was the best.
Oh, I love Hunter.
The woman on Hunter in
Stephanie something or other.
In every episode went undercover as a prostitute. Like, in every single episode.
Well, that's where the real crimes are.
Well, yeah, but you'd be like, all right, we got to catch this guy for bank fraud. All right, you dress up as a prostitute. And I'll go to the bank. Yeah, work the corner. And we're going to go over here and solve this murder in another state.
What's prostitution at? Nothing. Just dress up that way.
Come on. I mean, how many storylines could it be where a prostitute would save the day?
Well,
barely a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other ways to make a woman look attractive than dressing her as a prostitute. All right. So we will return. Bob Sosie going to join us at 9.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
If you want to get exclusive access to the New England Patriots and...
98.5, the sports hub, where Toucher and Rich. Rich, would you like to know how Bird and Nick have spent their time this morning?
Fighting each other again?
No, but they've been working in concert. Quite the contrary. They've been working together very well. What they've done is they have compiled a list of all the Marvel movies, and they have given it to Marshall Hook to figure out how many he's seen.
All right.
And Bird wanted to follow Nick in here because he was just as interested as Nick was.
In lieu of answering phones or?
No, just, I mean.
Dan's nodding his head.
So, because I'm like, oh, I wonder if we're playing a game or something. Like, if something's going on that I was unaware of.
Sure, like we're being surprised by something. Like, oh, wow, yeah, okay.
Like content for the show. And yeah. Then, like, Nick and Bird came in here and they were happy as clams. And Nick was like, why are you following me? Because he didn't want Bird to steal his thunder. So they gave Marshall Hook a list of all the Marvel movies.
I bet they missed a few. I'm just going to throw
it out
there.
I don't think it's all of them. Listen, first of all, I think this project only took like 20 minutes. So
Nick.
I feel sorry for poor Nick.
It was so. Nick. You think it took 20 minutes? Try 20 days. All right. So, yeah. So, now, how did this all get started, this conversation?
I think it's because Marshall was telling us off the air that he received the rough end of the wrath of Marvel movie fans because he dared have a hot take about the new trailer that came out, correct?
Basically, I said, you know, this Endgame trailer looks good, but I thought that the very first Avengers movie, the first Iron Man, was the best, and that they've made too many. That was my opinion.
So like, what kind of nerd hatred did you get?
Oh, my God. I'm the old man who I don't like things, so you shouldn't like it. I'm wrong. I'm hot trash. Just, you know, I have no opinions. I'm out of touch. They make so much money. Of course they should still make them, you dumbass. That sort of stuff.
Well, that's something that someone should get offended by. Yeah, your opinion on a comic book movie.
Sure.
Deeply, deeply offended that I don't happen to have the same love of comic book movies.
Well,
or any movie, really, that they do.
I've seen Captain America, Iron Man 2.
You haven't seen the first Iron Man?
Maybe.
It's a great movie. Like that's one of the better comic book movies that have been made.
It's my favorite of all the Avenger movies.
Yeah, and then that's it. I haven't seen any of the other ones.
You haven't seen any of the Avengers? Them together?
No.
Yeah, I
don't like those kind of movies.
My whole point
Black Panther was terrible.
I saw the trailer for Endgame. In fact, I think it was Rich's tweet that put it out there. I saw it, and I'm like, yeah, that looks like a good movie. But apparently I need to watch 21 other movies before I'm allowed to watch that one for it to make sense.
Dude, it's a commitment.
And
you're right.
That is way too big an investment.
That is a problem, is that there's like they all, you need to know something about each one of the characters before you see like these movies, and it is a big ass commitment. However, the one thing about Marvel, I will disagree with Fred on this, is that they might not always make great movies, but they never make bad movies. Like, I can't think of, ever since Iron Man came out, any movie of theirs that was bad, that I didn't at least enjoy. Now, Black Panther, the first time I saw it, I didn't think it was that great.
Yeah, my son and I tried to watch it.
Second time I saw it, I really liked it.
We tried to watch it, and I got about a half an hour through, and we both agreed it was terrible.
There's one movie that is like sneaky great, and it's legitimately funny, and that is Thor Ragnarok. Because what they said was Thor kind of sucks as a character. He's humorless. Like in the first two, he was just kind of like this over-the-top, like way too serious, drab kind of guy. So they said, let's turn it on its head. Let's hire this comedy director. And it was this guy from New Zealand who made... You ever see that movie, What We Do in the Shadows? It's like a fake documentary about... It stars the dude from Flight of the Conchords.
Okay.
And it's about like a fake documentary about life as a vampire. It's funny as hell. So they said, let's get this weird director. And they turned it into a straight-up comedy. And it's excellent. Like, Jeff Goldblum is hysterical in the movie. It's very, very good. But
Jeff Goldblum, still alive, still looking young.
Still kicking it.
Does a lot of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Big Jim Irsay. Hello, Big Jim Irsay.
Hey, man. What's going on up in Boston, man?
Well, listen, congratulations. Your Indianapolis Colts won yesterday.
Yeah, man, I know. The Colts, I had a little celebration after that game. I actually haven't slept since about noon on Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah, you know, I took down a few things, and women included drugs. But listen, I got a story to tell you. You know how much I love the Colts? I bought a Colt, and I named him Colt.
All right, so you bought an actual horse, a Colt,
and you named him Colt?
Absolutely, and I used to party with him, man. I used to do a lot of blow with him, but I can't anymore. Last time I did, he ended up in the hospital, man.
Oh, so you gave were you sharing the cocaine? You were doing equal amounts?
Exactly. Well, almost equal. I took a little bit more than him, but this is my thing. I used to tie him up to the hot walk. You know what that is?
No.
Okay, hot walk is that it's like a pole with a string, and you walk the horse around after he runs to calm down. Well, I flipped that on his head. I tied him up to it, and I gave him some of my blow one night. Well, he used to whip around that bastard son of a bitch going 30 miles an hour. It was great. We had fun, so... But the thing was, at the end, to stop it, I had to bash that bastard over the head with a shovel.
Well, that's not a good thing to do. That's an awful thing to do.
Well, I realized that, and actually, the last time I did it, I hit him a little too hard. He didn't wake up for about 8 hours, so I brought him into the hospital. The vet said I couldn't do it anymore. I'm thinking about donating his brain to the NFL. There's research for CTE.
That's not how it works, Jim Irsay. It's they want players' brains.
Well, listen, Jim Irsay, I'm a businessman. I got a lot of things going on, not just the Colts. I have a lot of things because of hard work, intelligence, and about $3 billion given to me by my father.
Okay, thank you.
I was wondering, is there any chance of you changing the name Colts to White Lion?
Oh, my goodness. I almost just fainted. Fred, that's a great idea. Listen, you know, in honor of you, Mr. Touches?
Yeah?
I grew back that pinky nail.
Oh, yeah, doing it old school.
I've been scratching people when I shake their hands. And what the hell? I said, well, that's how Big Jim rolls.
He's taking it back to 1979. All right, Big Jimmers, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.